This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Junkies back with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to check us out on TV. Presented by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies, and home of the five-star technician. You can check them out at cropmetcalf.com. We thank you for tuning in this Tuesday morning, August 13th, 2019. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
Good morning. Johnny Cakes Auville's here.
Hello.
And Jason Bishop.
Good morning.
On the program today, we'll get into the Redskins. Chris Russell, our Redskins insider, joins us at 7:20. There was an NBA schedule release. So the new voice of the Wizards, Justin Kutcher, is going to join us in studio at 8:20. We'll get to know Justin. Sprinkle in some college football. There was college football news yesterday. Chris Doering is going to join us, former Gator receiver, former Redskins receiver. Now he's with the SEC Network and ESPN.
What was the college football news?
The much heralded Tate Martell.
Oh, right.
Who was a big deal in high school as part of the Netflix show,
forgetting the
name of it, QB1.
Yeah.
Originally went to Ohio State, didn't win the job there, transferred to Miami, and was beaten out by a freshman.
Redshirt freshman, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that was kind of big news in the college football world. My brother, who's a Miami alum, was thrilled. He never liked Tate Martell. He's very into size, and Tate Martell is small,
yeah,
and he wants a thrower, not a runner.
Yeah.
Because he went to the University of Miami during the glory days where
sure,
they were a passing offense,
right,
winning national championships, and had guys who throw the football. And I guess Tate Martell's more of a dual threat, not necessarily the best thrower.
Yeah,
right.
He's a smaller guy, but he's a great athlete. He should consider, I mean, if he really wants to play, he should consider switching positions. You know, or otherwise he's going to end up at like Northeast Louisiana or something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Which, you know, he might be able to put up some numbers, but
by the way, that game.
Or just stick it out and try and beat out the guy.
Game's in 11 days.
He could do that.
I know. Miami versus Florida in 11 days. It's basically upon us.
I know we got the invite yesterday from Bodie, former producer here at 106.7 The Fan for our Fantrax College Football Fantasy League.
For not one, two college fantasy leagues.
Well, I just get one.
Okay, yes.
You might be in two. I get one invite. That's
one's
it.
The Power Five.
Well, did you guys talk about while I was away the Cakes' big money fantasy league that he's involved
in?
Yes. Yeah, you guys did.
He brought it up. It's not as big money as he thought.
Yeah, it's a little less money, which is fine by me.
Oh, so it's not $2,000 each for you? It's
I believe the latest on that is that the legit buy-in for the league is $2,500 per
right,
team.
Mm-hmm.
My co-conspirator in the league, he wants to raise the stakes, first of all, on the buy-in. And if he can't raise the stakes, he wants to have side bets with other teams as to how we stack up against them throughout the season.
Gotcha.
He's a bit of a degenerate, so
but that's still pretty significant.
It's a lot of money.
If it's $1,200 for cake,
yeah,
dinner,
that's would buy by far.
That's without side bets. Still.
That would be the biggest
could be
fantasy league ever entered.
I would never enter a league that high.
Yeah, I have some reservations about it, but I think that the field that we're up against, from what I've heard, is a little bit
soft,
and I feel like we could take advantage.
Yeah,
but it's a bunch of poker guys.
I think. I mean, I don't want to sully. I've never met anybody in the league, so
yeah.
I don't want to cast aspersions. I think it's a bunch of rich guys from Bethesda Country Club that probably don't know that much about fantasy
and may not even care.
that is the big picture takeaway that I'm getting so far from this league. Now I could be completely wrong, and we just get bamboozled by everybody.
Yeah.
And I think I'm way better at fantasy than I actually am.
Well,
we'll see how it plays out.
It would just take all the fun out of it if I had to stress over games that are worth $1,250, if not more,
right,
with the side bets.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, I think Cakes told me he's willing to put his exposure at $2,000,
yeah,
with all
I'm,
the side bets.
I'm capping
bets.
It. I'm willing to cap
well,
it
we
$2,000.
We went through each junkie's salaries plus their wives last weekend, and it's clear that Cakes is the richest junkie.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. That's true.
Because his wife makes $100K a year, so you add that to what he makes.
She doesn't make $100K a year. I'd be butt-sized.
She's very close. And so you are clearly the richest junk.
He has some money that he could play with.
I've got some disposable income, but
so I'm not surprised.
With what has happened with the Entercom stock of late, I don't know that I have that much disposable income and or job security. So there are a lot of questions.
You never really have job security.
Never have job security.
Sell, sell, sell.
Who knows what's going on with Entercom stock?
But when the stock is hovering at $3.30 and they've slash the dividend by 77%.
Don't buy. Don't buy.
Yeah, those are generally not good signs for your company.
Well, the stock on Doolittle may be going down. In the month of August, his ERA is now over 9.
Right.
And it made it hairy last night.
But he did get the save.
But I have a new nickname for him.
Hasn't been smooth sailing in the month of August.
We could go a couple different ways, but the first one that came to mind is Doolittle.
Uh-huh.
Or Poo Little.
Either one works.
Kind of like Poo Little.
Sean Poo Little or Doo Doo Little?
Doo Doo Little is.
He's such a good guy.
It's too many syllables.
It's just kind of funny.
Yeah, Poo Little kind of runs, just rolls off the tongue.
We can go with Poo Little if
either
you want.
Either one.
Anyway, he's a great guy.
He's a super nice guy.
And he's done a great job for him. They're just teeing off on him.
I would feel bad calling him Poo Little a bunch of times.
How big of a lead do they need for it to be safe these days?
6-7 runs.
Because it was 7-2, and they end up winning 7-6.
7-2, they gave up. Yeah. Gave up a 2-run bomb. And
five runs was safe.
And then, Poo Little came in and gave up a couple.
He's been overworked. That's the thing. I saw some stats. Like, he's on pace for, I think, 71 appearances. He's never thrown that many times.
Yeah. The thing is, I mean, he's still throwing 94, but it's like no movement.
No.
It's just 9 fastballs in a row.
They're right down the
gut. And they just tee off on him.
Yep.
They're literally teeing off on him. I don't think they can win a playoff game. Well, they definitely can't win a playoff series with him pitching this way.
Well, they went out and signed Greg Holland again.
Yeah.
But he's not the Greg Holland from a few years ago.
No, not even close, but they signed him to a deal.
No, but he wasn't last year, and they reclaimed him a little bit, and they kind of made him work last year. So they're hoping they can work some magic with him again this year. It's sad, man, because they've gotten better in a lot of ways in that bullpen. But now the back end, the one part that we thought was the rock of it, is kind of falling apart.
Yesterday they went with the B bullpen, though. No, I mean, when you go to Rainey.
Well, they're Guerra, Javi Guerra.
Yeah.
But they had a 7-2 lead.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand why they went to it, and also you can't use Strickland every game.
That would be a waste. It was
fine. You can't use Hudson every game.
You might want to think about it.
Yeah. No, it was fine. Guerra was fine. Did its job. It's just, Rainey was all right, I guess. I don't know.
Right, so they bring in Greg Holland, who this year has a 4.54 ERA. He had 17 saves with the Diamondbacks, who released him on August 9th. So signing him gives them another veteran arm. So you've got
another guy.
Just in the last few weeks, you've added Hudson, Strickland, Elias, and Holland.
Yeah, all guys that have closed games before, which, is critical.
Yeah, and what's that tell you? Tells me that he keeps performing like this, they're going to make a move, and they're going to give other guys a shot.
They might. The thing is that he's putting up numbers. Like, where is he? Third in the National League in saves? But, man, they're just teeing off on him.
A 3.75 ERA for a closer is awful.
Mm-hmm. It's just stressful when he comes in. And you can see he's wearing the stress, too.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like you can see he's got no confidence.
Yeah, like he's relieved when the last out.
Maybe they should use Victor Robles as closer. Did you see how fast his throw from center field was?
It had him out by 8 feet.
I believe it was over 99 miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good to get Kendrick back last night. I didn't realize he was going to be back that quick.
Yep, Kendrick was back. And
you know what they didn't get back last night was a big crowd. Which, coming off the heels of the Met series, seeing the crowd at Citi Field and comparing it to the Nats crowd, it's just...
Well, by the fourth inning or so, I think it was decent. It might have been about 28,000 or something.
Oh, I think it was 21 or 22,000 announced.
Is that all they announced today?
Yes.
Huh.
It's a Monday against the Reds.
It looked better than that.
The Mets game was a weekend game against a division rival. I'm not going to read too much into that.
It's not September yet, but this isn't an irrelevant team. This is a team atop the wild card. You would think more people would be going to games.
It was a stark contrast to the Met series, but Cakes is right. It wasn't the same rival. And they weren't, you know, the Mets had won however many they had won in a row. They were on a hot streak. So, I don't know. Look, we don't have that same passion here. There's no denying it. The fan base will get fired up, you know, if they're lucky enough to get into a one-game playoff. And then, you know.
But every time you see Doolittle come in
the
game,
be that way day in and day out.
You're kind of on the edge of your seat.
100%.
Doesn't even matter what the score is.
Like, he's a guy that you didn't think it was a roller coaster ride with earlier in the season when the rest of the bullpen was falling apart. And now.
He was the rock.
Right. Now there are questions when he comes in.
Right.
Now he's the biggest question mark, which I think, you know, again, I like to give Rizzo credit because I think he's done a pretty good job with, you know, limited resources, just bringing in different random guys and they're patched together something. But the very, very back end of it now is kind of falling
apart. Do
you
have any of the audio of Doolittle from last night, Valdez, or can you pull that? Because he definitely sounded exasperated after last night.
After when he was asked
about
it?
He just sounded dejected.
Who, who interviewed him?
I can't remember. I just heard some audio of him post game last night.
He's talking about how sort of tired he is.
Well, I mean, you can just hear it in his voice. Like,
on the bright
it's
side,
affecting him.
Well, if he's
then
tired,
he's pitching well. Like, if you want to go to the other end of the spectrum, they're getting production
definitely
from the back end of the rotation that we didn't expect a month ago.
Yep.
Because you thought when Fetty was on the mound or when Joe Ross on the mound, chalk it up as an L.
Yep.
Yeah,
they're pitching well.
He's been really good.
Fetty's blown me away. He really settled down.
They're stepping up
after a rough start.
He and Ross are stepping up.
They need it.
With Max, yeah.
Because I think all of us expected Scherzer back by now.
I definitely did. 100%.
What are they saying? What was the latest yesterday?
I don't know. He looks great. They showed video of him throwing before the game. He's laughing. He's smiling. So, you know, this
Martinez
is the process.
Say something wacky like, oh, he's Scherzer. Like it's like they just don't know. They don't know when Scherzer's going to say, I'm ready to go.
He looks to me like he's pretty close, but I'm sure there's a process where they want him to go back. Remember, they keep talking about these simulated games. If he's not going to go down and pitch a minor league game, he's going to go through this gauntlet of simulated games before they think they'll let him really let it fly.
I actually went to bed last night. It was 6-2. Yeah, it was 6-2. And I woke up this morning. I just saw 7-6. I didn't see that the Nats had scored the seventh run.
Right.
Because Turner knocked in Kendrick and with that seventh run, and I thought, oh my god, they blew another one. Then I looked at the box and said, well, they almost did. It was close.
Well, it was pretty much you're pretty comfortable until Doolittle. You're very comfortable watching that game until Doolittle came in, and then it got hairy. But once he got his first out, I think he gave up a bomb, then he got the first out, and then they gave up another run,
they
and then he got
the
another
double
out. So once they had two outs, I figured he'd get the last out, but whew.
Yeah, Doolittle said, I haven't put together a season like this in a while. I'm starting to feel it a little bit. These are nights when you got to dig deep and grind it out. Thank goodness we had a three-run lead.
Right.
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 Well, if he's feeling it, then give other guys a shot.
Well, I think he's pitched five of the last seven games.
Let Hudson close out a game.
Where is the announced attendance? Because I'm going through the box score. I can't see it.
I saw a tweet yesterday that said it was, again,
21,000?
22, I think.
Is that right?
22 and change.
But it looked a little better by the end of the game. You have the Doolittle clip?
Yeah, I have it. Sorry. It's cutting like in and out. Sorry.
Your immediate reaction to the homer was what?
The ball's crushed. That was it. I threw it right down the middle, and look at his numbers against lefties. It was supposed to be in, and it was middle, and that was a really loud sound.
How great was the bottom of that, and then what do you sort of do to recompose yourself after
that? That was tough, man. The whole inning was tough. I mean, you know, that's 5-7 in the middle of August in the first season where I'm still going, you know. I haven't put together a season like this in a while. I'm starting to feel it a little bit, and, you know, these are the nights where you got to dig deep and grind it out. You know, thank goodness we had a three-run lead.
Look, he's telling you, Dave, he's tired.
Right. He's
so
he's
if you get in a situation again tonight where you're up one or two late in the game,
I don't think they can pitch him tonight.
You can't.
He's telling you, and opposing hitters are telling him,
right.
Too.
Yeah. Philip Irvin just went yard.
But it is crazy that, look, I don't know that much about pitching, but he just seems to throw the straightest fastball I've ever seen. And the guys just tee off on it. Very little movement.
27 saves, though.
I know. A lot of that, though, was early on.
Is it too late to throw another pitch in the rotation? I know it's like mid-August.
Seemed like he threw a couple more off-speed pitches yesterday, like one or two more.
Yeah, I mean, I can't
have
name
no
all
problem
pitches
with the approach.
That he
There's
has.
A lot of closers that have similar approaches. That's his approach.
I'm not sure about that. Maybe you know better than me, but he's literally 90% fastball. It's just
yes.
too much.
And it's one thing if
What's
you're throwing...
his other pitch? He has to have one. He has to have something to mix.
Does he throw
in.
A change?
He threw some sort of off-speed breaking ball. I don't know what they call it. He threw at least two, I think. But he's 90%. You go to Fangraphs and look,
throwing,
he's 90% fastball.
Throwing 97, 98, you're just trying to throw it back, by guys. But if you're throwing 92, 93, 94, guys are just going to tee off.
I mean,
off
is
on
Paul
that.
Menhart the pitching coach now?
Yeah.
If I were him, I would bring him in and say, you're going to have another pitch next season.
Well, I'd rather him stick with an A pitch than a B pitch. Because that A pitch has worked out well for him.
Just mix it up.
All right, coming up next, we're going to dive into the Trent Williams situation. Some news coming out from some of the inside sources in the NFL, like Adam Schefter. We'll get into that next here on The Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Remember, 7:45, your chance to win Nats tickets. We do that every morning on the program. And this week, and I believe next week, giving you a chance to win tickets to the Federated Auto Parts 400, which is at Richmond Raceway, September 21st. We're doing that at 8:45 each morning. So your chance to win some great prizes at 7:45 and 8:45 during the break. We stumbled on some cliff diving.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's actually technically not cliff diving.
I mean, it's some sort of Red Bull.
Yeah.
Like, it's titled Red Bull Cliff Diving. And this guy's, I don't know how high, he's 80 or 100 feet up.
It looks like he's pretty high up.
You're right. There's a platform there.
There's a platform
there.
But
I think there's a ladder on a cliff.
I mean, he's doing flips and twists from 100 feet up into like a Dixie cup at the bottom.
I'm not that impressed because we used to see that at Wild World back
in
the day.
I know. Still, it blows my mind that people can get up there and not just do the straight on pencil.
I don't know how high it was at Wild World, but it was a similar height where they would do these wacky bits in front of our French fry stand.
I mean, it had
fry again.
Minimum of 60 feet.
It was
in
about
air.
60 feet high.
60 to 70
and
feet.
And they would do these wackadoo bits. And then the end was the guy would go all the way 60 feet high. And then he would jump into, I think the pool was 14 feet deep.
That was it. That pool was a Dixie cup.
These people are freaking nuts.
Yeah.
It's insane.
But that's what they can end up doing for a living after they do this. They move over to theme parks.
I guess.
There aren't that many options.
That's their next step.
Yeah,
I thought radio job security was bad. Apparently, being a cliff diver, not very good.
I think most of them end up just as dive coaches at your local pool.
Where's
the future?
Yeah,
I mean, it's
crazy.
He penciled in that donk. I mean, he did a flip before. I don't know how
no,
those
he did
guys,
a flip and a twist.
Those guys have remarkable stones,
but he ended in the pencil position.
Yes.
Well, they're not doing any dives, right? They're not going head first. They're all feet first, right?
Oh,
no,
I don't know
I
about
think
that.
Some of them are going. I think
I
some of them are
that,
diving.
Jason. If they can go feet first, they can go head first.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't
Dude,
think
they're 100 feet up.
Yeah.
I don't think I was that high at MGM National Harbor in my hotel room last week.
Yeah.
That guy's jumping from that height. That is craziness.
So my youngest, all my kids have dove. Is that the proper verb?
I think that works.
And my youngest it looks like she's going to continue on. And if she continues, you go up to like 10 meters, which is like 30 feet in the air.
Right.
It's pretty insane.
Well, this is how dangerous it is. Did you just notice?
That looks
they
like it's about 100
scuba divers
yards.
There to scoop them out.
I mean, the indoor pool near where I live, the highest board is, I want to say it's like, it might be 12 feet, 12 to 15 feet. When you're standing on the edge of it, it feels like you're 100 feet up.
Yeah,
right. You feel like you're so high up.
Right.
You look at it from the ground level, you're like, it's not that high. And then you're out on the edge, like, This is pretty damn high.
Yeah, I pencil off those.
Butt scary.
Yeah. My kids will do back dives and front dives off it.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it.
I don't think these guys go head first, not from that height.
So far, you're right. I've only seen the pencil.
I think it's too dangerous.
Yeah, it would kill you.
I think those guys are all feet first.
Yeah, it definitely is dangerous. We have two scuba divers right next to them. In case something happens.
Right, to rescue you.
Yeah.
When you do a belly flop from 100 feet.
Right.
Or land on your back, God forbid.
So anyway, we stumbled onto that during the break. We wanted to get in the Trent Williams situation. Not that there's anything really new, other than Adam Schefter has reported that Washington has told multiple teams that's not trading the Pro Bowler, the seven-time Pro Bowler, but reports are that teams are reaching out. And it's getting to that point where he's not going to play for the Redskins. Teams know that. Teams are trying to trade for him.
But the Redskins are stubborn. They've shown how stubborn they are in previous negotiations. I don't see them budging any time before the season. Maybe. I don't know what the deadline is.
What if it's a really good deal, though?
Maybe.
You think they're just calling his bluff?
I think they just think that Trent Williams is really valuable to them.
Right.
And they also don't want to give in. They're stubborn. They don't want to just give in and let him have his way. And I think they're willing to hold out until the very, very end.
Is this a case where Williams, there's no amount of money for an extension that will bring him back?
I don't know.
Well, I think they're also stubborn. They're not going to give him extra money.
Yeah.
Just like they didn't want to give Kirk the contract he wanted.
But if they did come back and say, all right, we know you're pissed off about the meds, but how about, you know, $55 million, we'll give you another year and a half or 2 years.
I don't think they want to do that. That's the bottom line.
Yeah,
I don't think they want to do it.
But I'm saying, would that get it done for Trent?
Maybe.
It's speculative. Some people have said they think that that's possible. Charlie Casserly is one who said that. And then there are others who have reported has nothing to do with money, and there's no amount of money that's going to change his opinion.
Well, money is definitely a factor. When if reported is true, that he said he wants to be traded or whatever, and they said no, and they said, well, I want more money then, and they said no. Well, then money is a factor.
Again, we've heard reports on both sides. We've heard reports where money could make a difference and reports where they say money won't make a difference. We haven't heard from Trent.
No.
That's the thing. You haven't heard from Trent Williams.
Yeah.
The most
laughable
thing to me about the whole thing is that Washington, this is from ProFootballTalk.com, they reportedly believe that training camp fines, the amount of $40,000 per day, will result in Williams eventually caving. Well, why would they think that? If he's resolute enough to possibly miss regular season games, what does he care about $40,000 per day for training camp fines? If that's where they're digging in, I just don't know if that's the best
approach.
No,
I think they also think that he's not going to want to pass up on the 10-11, whatever the hell he's owed
right. This
year. But I think he's one of those rare birds. It sounds like he's pissed off enough that he is willing to sit out.
He's due to
know what's going on inside his head.
13.2, yeah.
And then you had whack job Sua Cravens piping in.
Yeah. Is Sua still under contract with the Broncos, or he's been released?
Don't know.
Yeah.
I was reading
those stories
yesterday.
I think he played four or five games last year.
He had like eight tackles,
yeah.
Something like that. He's been. I thought he was going to be an impact player in the league.
He's crazy, and he's been a dud. Yeah.
He did play for them for the preseason.
This year so far?
Yeah, he's expecting to be a big part of their defense.
He is? Even though he only played, I think, five games last year play the year before.
I would expect him not to be a big part of their defense.
I would expect him not to be
a key cog in their team.
Why are you a big Sua Cravens fan?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
No, I was bitter when he was sounding off yesterday. He needs to shut his mouth.
Oh, no, I wasn't bitter. I don't care. He can say whatever he wants. It didn't affect me at all, other than I just thought it would have waste of talent.
Him on our ledge as the backup free safety.
Yeah, he's still on the roster with the Broncos.
I mean, if he's a backup, he's going to make the roster.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It is interesting how it's playing out. I know, like, when we first did this before the start of training camp, when it became obvious that Trent wasn't going to report, that we all thought eventually he's going to want to come in because he's not going to want to pass up on a $13, $14 million, whatever he's due. But now it seems like he's serious. I don't expect him to report at all. The only way I see movement here is if the Redskins do move him.
Maybe he possibly just reports for week one. Maybe he just says,
well, that's what we kind of thought.
I'm
going to
come in and get my money. I'm not going to waste my time in Richmond at training camp. I'm not going to subject myself to the preseason. I'm just going to come get my money. Or he comes in at what, week 9 or week 10, so he doesn't miss out on what another accrued year for like his pension going forward. I don't know exactly how that works. Maybe that's what he does. I don't know. I would be shocked if he just misses game checks.
So would I.
I mean, those game checks are fat. I think they're like $700,000.
I think he's fully prepared to miss game checks. We'll see. Only time will tell.
Maybe he's.
I think he's fully
maybe
prepared.
Maybe he's been really good with his cash, and he's sitting on $50 million in the bank and doesn't need another $11 million from the Skins this year.
I doubt that.
Maybe
I'm
I don't
sure
know.
He needs the money, but I don't. I'm not sure these guys quite realize that.
I mean, I would just find it hard to pass up. I think he's due $10.8 million this year,
okay,
and not playing would. He'd have to give up 1.6
A very well-placed source told us down at Richmond when you were on your ninth vacation week.
Right.
That he has 11 cars.
That's a lot of cars. Now, if he has 11 cars.
He's got multiple homes.
He's not smart with his money.
Yeah, but if you have 11 cars, let's just say each of them costs $100K. That's $1.1 million. That's 10% of your salary.
I'm guessing at least one or many are more than $100K.
That's 10% of your gross salary, not your
take-home. Understood, but my point is, if he's been making this money for all these years, and we know that he has, he may still have a ton of money in the bank.
Maybe he does.
He probably does
he's smart,
have a
decent
amount of money. By the way,
his case was bolstered in week one of the preseason. And he may just be sitting back saying, you know what? I might not have much leverage now, but I'm going to have leverage in a couple weeks when they realize that they have Drek at left tackle, that they have Eric Flowers. And yes, Donald Penn is a 3-time Pro Bowler, but that's
Jaron Christian
a few years ago.
Right.
And they've got Jaron Christian, who he's practiced with. He may think is a bum, and he may believe if I just sit back, my case is actually going to be stronger in a few weeks.
I just don't see Bruce caving. I don't think Bruce is that.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying we're speculating. Nobody knows because Trent's not talking.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if people close to Trent are really talking. All of these reporters are trying to get information, and you just hear different things.
All right, let's go to Ryan. Ryan, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, what's up, guys? I think this is just a really big chess game by both sides. I think that Trent Williams obviously is doing everything that you guys think, and he's trying to play the Redskins, whether it's for more money or seriously for a trade. But I think the Redskins are also playing a pretty good chess game themselves. And the fact that if they don't make it seem like they're willing to trade, I think teams are going to offer more, and they're going to show good faith to Trent that they absolutely do not want him to go anywhere. But I think if it's offered enough, they'll absolutely take it. And I think that Trent Williams has to believe that he's wanted, which I think that's going to build more and more with every preseason game. And I think the money is going to have to increase. But I also don't think that he's going to hold out past week two or three. I think you're spot on with the money situation with Trent, and it's very important to him. I think he's either going to really either push for a trade by week two when he's missing those checks, or he's just going to cave in and make it happen.
If he gives them any indication that he's wavering, they're not going to buckle.
No.
And give
trade
him more money.
Yeah. That's not going to work.
Well, maybe they're just saying that they don't want to trade him because none of the deals have been good enough.
I don't think he's given any indication.
No. But if he's sort of indicating that he's going to tell them by week two,
That's my original guess was that I think when we went around the room a couple weeks ago that he'd be back by week three because he's going to feel it after a couple checks. I don't know. If I'm the Redskins, explore the deals. Be absolutely willing
sure
to make a
listening.
Deal.
They are.
I guarantee
you
they're
if somebody
listening.
Offers you a second round pick, take it. You're not going to get better than that.
You might not get better than that, but he's worth more to you.
Of course
than that.
He's worth more. You're going to get hoard in the end.
So, but or you just roll the dice that you can wait him out. And
the other
then
thing
by
is,
week
wait
six,
him out.
Come
is
in
he
or
in
something.
Shape? Is he working out? What's the deal?
Well, supposedly he
I'm
is.
Sure he is. Probably is.
I mean, he co-owns a
probably
gym with Adrian Peterson. He better be in shape. I mean, if you co-own a gym,
I doubt he's just
shape.
Sitting on a couch eating pizza.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Because if he is traded, which, of course, he wants, he's got to be ready to
he's
go
He's not
for
like
that
a guy
team.
That's ever had, like, in shape issues. You know what I mean? He's always shown up in shape and ready to go. So I would assume that he'd be prepared. But I'm telling you, I think also the fact that he's so silent also works in his favor. I think it kind of shows how determined he is. I don't know. It's just the vibe I get. It's just all a vibe. And the longer this thing plays out, the more it seems like, I don't think he's messing around
at all. But again,
I
would not give him a ton of extra money because
he's
already made a ton of money in the first 3 years of the deal. And now when the deal is somewhat team friendly, now he's balking at playing under whatever the cap number is. If you're upset at other guys leapfrogging you and getting more money, sign shorter deals. Don't sign a 5-year deal if you're going to be upset in years 4 and 5 of that deal.
I think the money is a big issue, but I think it's the side thing of the, all of the health things and just feeling disrespected. I think that's the biggest thing for him.
Right.
That's what it seems like to me, anyway. That he's genuinely pissed at this team, and it goes way beyond the contract he signed 3 or 4 years ago.
I hope Case Keenum's fleet of foot. I hope he's ready to dodge the pass rush. Because he's been doing a lot of that if Trent Williams isn't there week one.
All right. Does anybody here think he's going to be there week one? Cakes. Let's go.
Can I say possibly?
No, I mean, yes or no? Is he going to be there in week one?
Yes.
Oh, Cakes,
he's going
to
be there for game check.
He's not going to be there.
He's not going to be there. I don't think there's any
week
chance.
One's a couple weeks away.
Yeah. Doesn't look like
it. He just shows up. He shows up in Philly, says, I'm ready to go. I want my 700K. He's going to be there for game check.
I don't see any indication of wavering from that dude. From his camp.
It's called posturing. He's posturing right now.
That said, Antonio Brown said he was retiring if he wasn't going to get his helmet.
Right.
And
right.
You know what he's back doing? On the field.
Well, that dummy's playing.
What did we say yesterday?
Right.
I mean, come on.
Well, what I said is all bets are off with these guys. I have no idea. Right. Now, it does appear that he is coming back.
Trent Williams will be there week one for the Redskins.
All right, can I bet
starting.
You? Can I bet you?
No, I'm not willing to bet. I'm just talking big.
He's not willing to make a little bet.
Come on, dollar.
I need odds.
Dollar.
He,
no, I'm not giving you odds.
Fantasy for $2,000.
Just bet you a dollar straight up.
I got to keep my powder driver here, EB. I'm way overextended.
I don't think he's coming back, and I don't think they're giving him any more money. Both sides, I see both sides being extremely stubborn.
We'll talk to our Redskins insider, Chris Russell, coming up at 7:20. We'll get a little more insight from the Rooster at 7:20 here on the Junkies.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You know, it's a great time of year because football is almost upon us. College football is going to be starting in, what, 10 days, 11 days?
24th, yep.
Then you got the NFL. And then, before long, it's going to be Wizards and Caps heating up and college basketball. And there's just going to be a ton going on. We love the fall on the show. And kind of one of the signals of the cap season not being that far away is they invite us to this media day event.
That's correct.
And yesterday, Drab was going back and forth with Cakes and I.
What is the event?
It's just a... Cakes has done it in the past. Remember, there were pros and there were duds.
Yeah,
oh, just when the media plays hockey.
Yeah, and yeah. I told Drab I could do it, then I didn't think I could do it. And I felt bad because I backed out of it because Jess works... It's like the event's like 2 to 4, and mm-hmm. she teaches at 4:30. But I'm going to get her to change her schedule so that I can embarrass myself.
When is the event?
Because he asked me, he then texted me, he's like,
September 3rd,
well, can you skate? Okay. And I was like, well, I can kind of skate forward. Definitely cannot skate backwards.
No backwards skating.
And I'm by no
here.
Means proficient. Like, I would say Cakes, without even seeing him, is 100 times a better skater than me just because I know he owned skates as a kid.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but again, mediocre when I was skating a decent amount.
I've been on ice skates, I would estimate, 10 times in my life. No way I've been on ice skates
skate
more than 10 times in my life.
And I can stop. I cannot skate backwards.
Can't stop well. I often have to use the sideboards.
The boards definitely help.
I can't do one of those stops where the ice flies up.
I can kind of do that. I can't do it silly like I used to be able to.
And I don't think I've ever skated with a stick.
I've done it before. It's bizarre.
So what is the bit?
I think there's a media day where they put
us
through events,
game
and then
they have
a game.
They play hockey.
I told him I would.
It's a whole thing. Like you go in. There's like a session with Coach Reardon, and right. you do like a strategy session. Then they give you the equipment. Then you go out and practice a little bit with the players. And at the end, there's a game between the media.
I told him I wouldn't mind being a DNP CD. Did not play coach's decision.
Right.
I mean, I'm fine to do whatever. I'd be fine with playing goalie because in a media game, nobody's going to have nobody's going to have a good shot. Nobody's going to have an OV like laser. It's going to be a bunch of hacks out there.
Yeah, but there might be one or two guys that played like, fine. Like beer league hockey.
If I have all of Braden Holtby's equipment, I'm
fine. You'll be fine.
I'll be fine.
I think it'd be more fun to actually play.
Why don't you just tell them that you want to play goalie?
Maybe I will. Might put in that request.
So anyway, that's kind of the signal that cap season isn't that far away. And speaking of the Caps, the PR guy there just won $1 million.
Some of the greatest news ever. How crazy
is
that?
This is amazing news.
Sergey has been great to the show.
Clap him up.
Years, won $1 million, Powerball.
He did it on a lark, right? He was at whatever.
He was at Harris Teeter.
Yeah.
And he saw he looked and saw the sign. I don't know what the jackpot was at that point, but
he saw the sign.
He saw the sign. It spurred him to buy, I think, $5 worth of tickets. He matched 5 of the 6 numbers. Big winner, $1 million.
I just sent him a text. I said, you have no idea how jealous I am.
It's a great score.
And good for him.
Amazing score.
He's been really
him.
Good, not just to us, but to me. He's signed a lot of jerseys for for friends
he's
and family.
Dude.
And yeah, he's been awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I think it was $75 million that night.
$75 million.
So when was it? And I know that just became public in the last day or so. When was it?
July 27th.
So really, it was like 2-3 weeks
pretty
ago.
Pretty recently, yeah.
That's crazy.
Draft, winning numbers were 1, 19, 31, 48, 61. Did he pick those numbers?
I'm sure it was random. Automatic. He just,
easy pick.
Yeah, easy pick.
Which is what? That random generated?
It's random. Uh-huh. Yeah. Draft, this means we need to up our ticket buying. I've been slacking of late.
Well,
haven't been doing a lot.
I texted you last night that the sports media people in D.C. Yeah. are on a winning streak.
Well, who else besides
the guy, Dustin from Maryland.
Yeah. Won. Right. He won? What'd he win?
He came in fourth in the Potomac Poker Open main event.
He won.
He bagged
78K.
Oh, okay. But it wasn't like a random thing. Like,
no.
That was poker.
Game okay. grinding.
Yeah.
There's some
game
skill
of
there.
Skill.
Of course there is.
It wasn't a lot.
Game of skill.
There's a little luck involved as well.
Some.
So there's luck floating around out there waiting to be grabbed by
good.
Sports media people.
I would take it from skill or luck. I
the
don't
epitome
care.
Of luck, though, is winning the Powerball.
Well, yes. Sergey's a full-on luck box, but I'm happy
that's
for him.
That's the epitome of luck.
Couldn't be happier.
I couldn't even fathom it.
I would have been happier if it was me or Drab, because we have an agreement, or one of you donks, but it wasn't. It was Sergey, so we'll take that. I would have been happy if it was AWOL.
I wonder what he's going to do with it. I'm going to ask him.
Yeah, you need to ask him.
Well, is he taking the lump sum? So is it going to reduce it already?
Yeah,
like
sure.
Half a million?
Probably.
Which is a lot of money, but, you know, might pay off some loans.
See, I get accused of being in pockets. You want to know what he's doing with his money? He wants to know if it's a lump sum.
Yeah. He's not quitting his
job. I'm not
job.
In his pocket. I'm just assuming what most people do. They take the lump sum.
You always take the lump sum.
So the lump sum is probably going to be about $500,000, which is great money.
Maybe
but
he buys a house.
It's not going to change his life that much.
No.
In today's economy.
Well, I think it'd change your life a lot.
It makes it a little bit better.
It makes it a little bit better. It makes it a little bit better. But I assume he does okay.
Yeah, but who knows? He could buy a house with that. He could do a lot of things with
it. He could. But, you know, around here, a $500,000 house.
Okay, but you put in a down payment,
take
a mortgage.
All right, and then your mortgage payment's going to be...
It'll be a lot less if you put up $300,000 or $400,000.
He came into a lot of rubles in the last few days.
I just don't think it changes life that much.
Good for him.
I think $500,000 would be awesome. Not thumbing my nose at it or whatever the cliche is, but I don't think it would change his life. Like, he won the big silly Powerball.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you win 100 million,
if that sixth number
came in,
that's
life-changing.
Yeah, that's...
If you pocket for $500,000, great money, it's not necessarily going to change his life that much.
He did tell me last night when we were texting that it was all his dad's idea and his money. So I think his dad said, hey, Sergey, go buy some tickets.
Right.
I get a feeling he feels a little bad about it.
So is he giving his dad? He's probably chopping.
Yeah, he's probably going to chop it with him.
Dad, yeah.
Yeah. So now he's down to 250,
right?
Yeah. Which is great money again, but it's not necessarily life changing.
Yeah, but 250, for example, if you want to buy $1 million home,
right?
250, boom, you got a down payment.
Sure,
it's hard to come up with $250,000 for a down payment.
But he's already got a great job.
Yeah.
It's not life changing.
I don't think it's life changing.
He's not quitting.
I think it's life changing.
Yeah, I think his quote was. I'll be at work the next day.
Right. Yeah, right. It ain't enough to change him that much.
Man,
but
I'd
love
to
add an extra $500,000. It'd be sweet. But I think for you, what's the number to be life-changing? I think you've got to get like truly life-changing
where
you're not really sweating it.
What does life-changing mean?
You're really not sweating it.
You're full-on free-rolling?
And you're full-on just like...
Well, life-changing to one person isn't the same as life-changing to another person.
Correct. Let's say you're already established. You're not like Adam. You give Adam $100. That's life-changing.
$5 million.
I think
That's a very good number.
Five.
You could live off. You could quit your job and live off the interest of $5 million.
That's the first number that popped in my head.
I was thinking ten.
Ten would be better.
Ten, seven.
I'm thinking ten.
We're doing the lotto bit. We're doing the lotto bit
at least twice a year.
But I wouldn't be worried at $5 million. As long as I had $5 million. I mean, don't Don't knock it down to three.
Well, $5 million, $2.5 million, $10 million.
If you say $5 million,
you got to spend money every year. So well, you can,
if you're smart, okay. And you could live off interest or simple investments, you'd be fine. You wouldn't have to chop into the $5 million that much.
A guy who made well more over $5 million is your pal Lenny Dykstra, and he's now dipping into the celebrity boxing world.
Well, I think they're going to pay him like $2 grand.
He's got to make some cash, right?
That's how desperate he is.
Well, that's if the fight gets sanctioned between him and the short bagel guy.
Yeah. Right.
The bagel boss. Is that his nickname?
I think they've found a way to sanction those things.
By the way, I know that
Lenny Dykstra, wacky fights.
I know that he's a mess. Okay, he's a full-on dumpster fire rolling
definition
down,
of a mess.
Rolling down a hill. He's a mess. He would smoke that dude in the fight.
Oh, he's going to kill him.
2 seconds.
He's going to kill him.
Way bigger than him.
I mean, at one point, he was an elite world-class athlete, and I'm guessing Bagel Boss has never been an elite world-class athlete.
True, but believe me, he's so far from
that. Oh, I know he's far removed from it.
He can barely walk straight.
I understand that.
He's probably going to come in high or drunk.
This guy's like 4'11".
But I would still put my money on Nails.
I mean, he is going to
pummel him. If Nails loses to him, then he should just...
It's impossible.
Yeah, you know, just dig a hole.
In fact, if we could bet on it... Let's make the largest wager
ship it in
of our
on
life
Lenny.
On Lenny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm willing to bet everything on a crackhead.
I'm with you.
I wonder what else is on the card. That guy, Damon Feldman, has always
put
together some
wacky cards. Well, he's replacing Bam Margera, right? Who's in rehab.
Okay.
So I think Bam.
I thought Bam was supposed to be
supposed to fight the bagel boss.
No, he's supposed to be the ref, I think. I don't think Bam was supposed to
fight. Yeah, Bam was supposed to be the ref.
I think you're right. And I think Bam was only getting paid $2,000.
And he paid part of it up front, and Bam, I think, took the money to rehab with him.
One, two, three.
He's trying to get the money back.
One, two, three. No, you're right.
1, 2, 3.
100%.
That's how simple it is, okay?
Apparently, Bagel Boss is going to one of the best MMA gyms in the country.
Yeah, whatever.
So what?
And one of the UFC fighters says that the Bagel Boss possesses some natural ability as a fighter.
Yeah, right, whatever.
Dude, I wouldn't bet on Dykstra. He's a cripple at this point.
Yeah, he's Dykstra's crippled. He's a druggie.
All right, we'll make bets. I got Lenny everything.
And Bagel Boss has all this rage.
Whatever.
He has a lot of pent-up rage.
Did you see how quickly he got pummeled by the random guy at the bagel shop?
Yeah.
That dude was about 2 feet tall.
Right? Yeah, he's like tackled. Come on. That wasn't fair.
Dude, Lenny Dykstra is going to destroy him.
Lenny
could be high on heroin and destroy him.
Well, he might be. I'm surprised he's out of jail. Is he even out of jail to go fight anybody?
Lenny, yeah. I think so.
Well, Lenny doesn't have to worry about getting his teeth knocked out, right? He's got dentures.
Yeah. Aren't they expensive? Didn't he leave them behind?
Yeah,
wasn't that the story? He left them somewhere?
He was at like a Jersey Mike's. He took his dentures out to eat.
He had to go dumpster diving.
Or whatever. And he had to go search in a dumpster for like 7 hours to
find
them.
$15,000 dentures.
Did they ever find them when they went through the
dumpster? I think they found them. I think they were like $80,000 dentures.
Oh, they were that expensive.
They were the world's most expensive dentures.
That's a good friend to go through. Because he had a friend I saw that showed up.
A friend who was like a clown, right?
Yeah.
Like a professional player. It was the weirdest story.
Chuckles.
Weirdest story ever.
Yeah.
All right. Got to take a break. Phone number is 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Lister line. Coming up in the next hour, Chris Russell will join us at 720, our Redskins insider, and we'll give you a chance to win Nats tickets at 745 here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.